We talked about... Hey, please help me, Dad. Talked about... I gave a muscle with the rope. Yeah, the rope. So there's two directions. The direction going up and the direction going down. The direction going up is given over to our Bechira. And what comes down is not. There's certain things Hashem is gozer that they have to be. And there's other things that, like, that's one example of something that's fixed. Hashem is gozer that has to be. And there's sometimes a person can reach a point of no return with his Bechiras, bad Bechiras, and there's a Gzar Din, and that's it, goodbye. There's a Gzar Din, and there's nothing you can do about it. There is a point where a person can't do tshuva anymore. It's not, his Bechira is taken away from him. We all know Parai did Averis, and the punishment for his Averis was that he lost his Bechira. I'm going to be sharing him and ask, how could Hashem harden Parai's heart? Hashem gives Bechira. And there's different answers. And one answer, if I'm not mistaken, this is the answer of the Rambam. Hashem did not take away his Bechira. He gave him Bechiras, and he made enough bad Bechiras that his punishment was that he lost his Bechira.
You just ate this? It's from you?
That is sometimes, that is the punishment. Bechira is not guaranteed. Hashem gives it to you when you're born, and it's up to you to hold on to it. You know, if somebody is born and they come into this world and you give them a lollipop, okay, you promise you're going to give them a lollipop. You give them the lollipop, and they walk in the street and it falls down the sewer. They start crying. Why are you crying? He says, you promised me a lollipop. I gave you one. But I don't have it. You promised me a lollipop. You lost it. Bechira could be lost, and then it's exadim, and then tshuva won't help, and nothing. No bechira. So there's two types of movements in the world. There's movements from down up, and that's how we choose, and then that causes reverberations throughout all creation, and then there's some up-down that is fixed. We don't have, it comes. It's exeru.
So also for the good side also, you can make enough good decisions that it no longer
it's also, right, there are people, Yitzchak Avinu, Rashi brings down a chazal in Parshas Toldos, I think, Parshas Toldos, that Yitzchak was like a mace. He was in his house, couldn't see. And Hashem referred to Yitzchak by his own name. Hashem used his name to describe Yitzchak. And Hashem only does that by people that pass away when the tzaddikim. Because if somebody dies as a tzaddik, so then he'll never do anything wrong. Once someone dies as a tzaddik, so then that's fixed. But when someone's alive, Hashem does not call that person by his name, no matter how righteous he is, because until his last breath, there was a Kohen Gadol named Yechanan, that he was 80 years, he was a Kohen Gadol, and he was going to Kodesh Kodashim, he was a tzaddik, and then he became a tzaduki.
80 years.
Yeah, and he changed his name to Yanai. Altan, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Altan and V'yatzim Chad Yem Reisberg. I don't know. Here, you're asking a good question. But Yitzchak was the same state as a dead person. He wasn't dead, he was alive. But he was the same state as a dead person. Just like a dead person can never lose the madrega that the person acquired in his lifetime, Yitzchak couldn't lose it. It's like Shmuel is pointing out that that's also a loss of bechira. That's a good loss of bechira. I mean, my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro Shlita, explained something else with this yisayid. I mean, once more brought this up, he explained something else with this yisayid. I mean, it's based on the morale. I mean, if you want to go into this, we could. It's a little, okay?
It's up to the Rebbe.
No, it's not up to me at all. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for you. It's really up to you. You tell me what you want.
Whatever
you want. Do you want it with fries?
Like that good American thing, he's going to lose weight ordering burger fries and a Diet Coke.
Burger fries and a Diet Coke. With fries. Can I have fries?
Would
you like fries? Yes, and can I have fries?
I would like
that.
Diet Coke much better. It's really bad.
The trick is that it's diet and they're thin cut fries, Rebbe.
There's a medrash, I mean it's a Gemara in Erevin. The Rashi brings down and Parshas told us.
But the acting's really bad for your blood pressure.
Come on, boys, let's finish the Gemara. Let's finish the Gemara. I love doing this.
Gemara?
Let's finish. Well, it's eventually. This is a stickler Gemara. The Pasuk and Parshas told us. I'm learning Tzazamen. Tzazamen learning. You know Yiddish?
I wish.
Tzazamen means together. Learning is.
What topic is this?
Learning.
What topic
we're learning about. We're learning about. The Derech Hashem says that there's two movements in this world. There are those that are given over to people's choices, and that's from Oretz to Shemayim. And then there's another type of movement which is fixed and is not within the realm of Bechira. So we're going through different examples of
like nature.
Nature. Or Gzar Din on a city, like by Stein.
What do you mean by two movements?
Once Avram, we spoke about this yesterday, yeah. Reverberations, cause and effect. I use the word movement, but it means that when you do something, there's an impact. And there's an impact of Shemayim and Arts, which is fixed. It's, you know, it's a Gzar Din and Shemayim that something should happen, and it's going to happen, and there's nothing. And then there's actions that people do on earth, which is not fixed. They could choose to do one or another one, different types of actions, and different types of, and it has effects throughout creation. So the Derech Hashem mentioned it. So I'm just mentioning, we're going to go into a little bit the area of Bechira, and not the standard Bechira. Not the standard Bechira at all. We gave one example of a non-standard Bechira, or Pare. He had Bechira, but then he didn't have Bechira. Now let's go to Rashi. And Parshas told us, there was a famine in Eretz Canaan. It's the third time we have this. Avraham Avinu had it twice. And once he went to Mitzrayim, and then he went to Eretz Plishtim. And Yitzchak had it once. It was the third famine on record, and he was going to go to Mitzrayim too. And Hashem said, don't go to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's not appropriate for you to leave Eretz Yisrael. You have the status of a korban. Yitzchak. You have this. He was going to go to Mitzrayim, just like his father went to Mitzrayim. And Hashem said that it's not appropriate for you. Now it's interesting. As a side note, people think that it was usher for Yitzchak to go to Mitzrayim. I mean, the pasuk says Hashem told him not to go. It does. And then the pashat shot in the pasuk is if Hashem says don't go, it's like a mitzvah slice to say, it's like he's asked to go. The thing is, when Rashi comments on that pasuk, he phrases it differently. He says the pasuk is outside Mitzrayim. Do not, thou shalt not go to Mitzrayim. But Rashi says that Yitzchak had in mind to go to Mitzrayim, and of course Hashem knew this because Hashem knows what's in our minds. And Yitzchak wanted to go because his father went. And that's very much what Yitzchak's mahalak was. That in his own way, he did over the things his father did. He wasn't a duplicate of his father, but the things that his father did, he did in his own way. See, by the wells, he uncovered his father's wells. His father went to Mitzrayim and he practiced his chesed in Mitzrayim. And Yitzchak was going to go to Mitzrayim to practice his midah, called Gvura Mitzrayim. Because, you know, you have to be Misakin, you have to bring completion to the whole world, and you have to perform a Kaddish Baruch Hu's different midos in the different places. And Avram did Chesed there, Yitzchak had to do Gvura, and Hashem said, don't go. Rashi says, I'll tell you Mitzrayim, don't go. She'ata oilu t'mima. You are a sacrificial offering. You're a carbon oila, and oila is burnt up completely. There's nothing left over. The kayan doesn't need anything. Tawanim is back, and you are a carbon that was totally consumed on the Mizbeach. Ve'en chutz la'aretz kedai loch. And chutz la'aretz, Mitzrayim, is not appropriate for you. So Hashem is advising him. When the pasuk says Hashem was telling him not to go, and Rashi was saying Hashem is
advising against it.
He's a prayer. It's not appropriate. Now the truth is, not in Mitzrayim, but his children did. Yeah, Yitzchak never went there. That's a very nice, that's a very important note. You see that Avraham Avinu did his avodah Mitzrayim, Yaakov did his avodah Mitzrayim, the Shvatim did their avodah Mitzrayim, and Yitzchak was never able to do his avodah Mitzrayim. So I would think that that's a very thought-provoking comment by our resident sadical. No, I mean that's mamish. That's something which could take hours to go into. What was the cheshbon of Hashem that Yitzchak's gvura doesn't belong in Mitzrayim? He didn't go. So whatever he would have done when he was there, he didn't do. He went to Eretz Plishtim, he uncovered wells. That's not just a physical thing, because wells are physical, but wells have a neshama complement to them, right? We know that. That there's physical wells and then the spiritual wells. So when you're uncovering physical wells, your physical action is connected to a much higher action, and it makes the world a place where there's a lot of underground springs that are giving life to the world. And he did it, right, but he didn't do it to Mitzrayim. So that's, it's mamash a topic which I would like to think about, I'd like you to think about it, and we'll get back to it. So there's one way of learning this, which is the Pashup says, Hashem said don't go, and he wasn't allowed to go, and then Hashem was explaining it. That's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding things is that any mitzvah before Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, the Torah was different than after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, there's do's and don'ts, and you must not, and you must do it, and there's no alternatives, and it's very fixed, and even if you have a very good reason, there's a red line, you can't cross it. And before Matan Torah, the mitzvahs that they had were very much that this is good for you and this is not good for you. And there are some Rishonim that that's the way they explain that Yaakov married two sisters, because it was good for him. He had a cheshbon that he had to, because he married Leah by mistake, and he has to marry Rachel. There's some Rishonim, Yaakov Avinu, he had to marry Rachel. He can't go to life without marrying Rachel. Klal Yisrael needs it. He needs it for the shleimus of the world. And before the Torah was given, so then the reason why they kept the Torah in the first place was because it's a refuah, it's like it keeps one alive, and it's a life-sustaining substance. And in this case, where Lavan tricked him, it's life-sustaining for him to marry two sisters. Now those we shouldn't explain like that. And this Rashi would fit in very well with that. I'm not sure if that's what he means, but if he does mean that, it fits in very well that Hashem was... This is the Matan Torah of before Matan Torah. It's not Kedai for you. And I had a riot to this. I had a particular hanah from this. Because there's the first daf in the second Gittin, which some of you know, it talks about the cities that are inside of Eretz Yisrael and the ones that are out of Eretz Yisrael. And the nafkamina is the ones that are in Eretz Yisrael are considered to have been done properly. And also, you can have access to the witnesses. And the cities outside of Eretz Yisrael, you suspect that they don't have the expertise necessary, or it might be difficult to ascertain the veracity of the document because, to travel between the two countries is not as common frequent. And there are two cities called Rekem and Chagor. There's a machlokes rishonim whether they were in Eretz Yisrael or not. And Tosfos holds that they were in Eretz Yisrael. And there's some Rishonim to learn that they were right outside the border. But Tosfos, they were in Eretz Yisrael. It's because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived in Kedesh, and Barad. And the Targum translates Kedesh and Barad as Rekem and Chagor. He said, Mistama, the Yavis lived in Eretz Yisrael. So if Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived in Rekem and Chagor, Mistama, they lived in Eretz Yisrael. What does Mistama mean?
Yes, I
wasn't allowed to leave,
so obviously...
So Tosfos saying, Mistama lived in Eretz Yisrael. Mistama means it's a safe assumption.
Obviously, Yaakov, you lived in which place?
Rekem and Chagor.
You lived there.
And Tosfos says, if they live there, then you could take on that those places are inside the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Because if they live there, Mistama, he said Mistama, they live in Eretz Yisrael. Mistama means, it's an assumption. Mistama means, unless we have evidence to the contrary. So Arakasha, when I learned the Tez Arakasha, if Yitzchak was not allowed to live, was not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, so Tosis could bring a much better proof. Yitzchak lived in Rekha Mechagor, and Yitzchak's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So Rekha Mechagor must be Eretz Yisrael. It can't be out of Eretz Yisrael because you're not allowed to be there. So why does Tosis say that we could safely assume that it's part of Eretz Yisrael? He should use a much stronger term. He should say, of course it's Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was there.
Now he says
so I combined Tysus' words with the Rashi and Parshas Toldos that it wasn't, you know, if you say that it wasn't usher for him to leave, it just wasn't beneficial. You know, Hashem is telling him, there's a famine, don't go to Mitzrayim, go to Abimelech, Plishtim. Plishtim is in Eretz Yisrael. Because it's not appropriate for you to leave Eretz Yisrael when there's a famine and go to Mitzrayim, go to a better place. But that doesn't rule out that sometime in his life he didn't go to Mitzrayim because he had to. What if he, you know, we don't know. You don't know every single place the Avos went. Torah is not a history book. It's not the complete annals of the Avos. It tells us the things we had to know. You have no proof that he never went there. There was a time when he had a choice. Plishtim or Mitzrayim. And Hashem says it's not appropriate for you to go to Mitzrayim. Go to Plishtim.
Right?
So, but he probably didn't. So that's why Tosha says, man.
Stama.
Okay, that's just Stama. Parenthetical.
Do you have anywhere else in the Torah that says that Yitzchak never left?
They don't, the travels are not chronicled down to every single last dot.
But it never says that he never left?
No. It says that Hashem told him not to go, and Rashi says it's not appropriate. This is all a theory of mine. Okay, I don't know. It's just it's a theory, but it works out. It answers a lot of questions. And it fits in with the words, and that's, you know, that's as close as we're going to get today. I mean, as you go through life, you'll see, you might open up a sefer and you'll see something, and you'll, oh, that adds on to what I heard from Rabbi, what's his name? What was his name again? Rabbi Spiegel, yeah, I know. And then you'll call me and you'll say, Rabbi, you call me in the middle of the night, and you say, Rabbi, I saw a commentary from the Ramban, and the Mamish says what you said. And thank you very much for waking me, because I would not have wanted to wait until the morning. But that's just a side point. So Hashem tells Yitzchak not to go. Hashem tells Yitzchak not to go. And he says, go to Plishtim. Go to Plishtim. Oh, go to Plishtim. And I promise you, I'm going to bless you. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. Stay here. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. I'm going to give your kids all these lands. Hashem swears that the promise he made to Avram he's going to give to you to fulfill with Yitzchak. You're going to have a lot of kids like the stars of the heavens. And all those kids, they're going to live here in this land, and they're going to be blessed. And all the other nations of the world are going to be blessed through your kids. Why?
Why?
Akev, because. Why? Because. Asher Shem Avram B'Kedim. Because your father, Avram, he hearkened to the voice of God. Vayishmar mishmati. And he was a faithful guardian of the faith. The guardian of the faith. Mitzvasai, Hashem's commandments. Hukasai, Hashem's statutes. I never knew what a statute is. It's a statute. It's a statute. With Torah Sai, and Avram kept God's Torah. Mitzvah Sai, Chukah Sai, Torah Sai. God's commandments, his mitzvahs, his statutes, and his Torah. Which one? You have all these words. What do they mean? Just say he was a firm Yid. What does it mean? What do all these things mean? So that's why you need Rashi. He guarded, he was a faithful guardian, Rashi says. It's in Perek Avav, Pasuk Hei. Faithful guardian. Rashi says that's the Drabbanans. And not just any Drabbanans. The Drabbanans that are fences. The Drabbanans that are fences. The abundance of offenses. Don't carry a hammer on Shabbos. Why? Because someone that carries a hammer on Shabbos might come to knock a nail in on Shabbos. That's offense. There are certain relatives that are also to marry midrabbanan. They're called shniyas. Don't marry those relatives. If someone marries those relatives, they might come to marry a first-degree relative. Avraham Avinu kept these. Avraham Avinu kept the drabbanans that are fences. Drabbanans that are fences.
In the time of the mission of Midigosh, a Rishon Shemakum, the guy first had a Katyalia.
Don't go into a Nazir should not go into a vineyard. You might come to drink the wines. Don't go in the first place. You might come to
drink.
No, Nazir can never drink wine. You can't make Kiddush. He makes Kiddush on challah. You know that. Nazir makes Kiddush on challah. Halacha l'maaseh. Mitzvah Sai is the next thing in the pasuk. My commandments. So he says, those are the mitzvahs that coincide with human intellect. They're mitzvahs that people on their own, like mitzvahs that preserve the social order, don't steal. So there's a logic to that. Don't steal, because if you steal from him, he'll steal from you, and then you're going to get angry and you won't get along, and people won't be able to have happiness and wealth and the pursuit of liberty and peace reigning throughout the land. So killing, don't kill. At one time, I had a conversation with someone online. This is the days before there was internet. Before there was internet, there was something called bulletin boards. And you dial the telephone number, and it hooks you up to someone's computer. And any service you wanted to access was a separate telephone. There was no clicking. And people ran bulletin boards. And there was bulletin boards that you could download games, applications, things like that. And there was the systems operator. And the systems operator had a chat function. So this is way before, this is the old days, this is primitive. So you could chat with the systems operators. A lot of times if you needed some kind of application, so you dial the number on the computer, you'd enter, it'll give you a list of programs. They have these programs are like 56K kilobytes. You have no idea how much things have come along since then. You have no idea, 56 kilobytes. There's no Windows, it's DOS. And then you download it, and then, if you had a question, you could speak to the systems operator if he was bored. So he would appear on your thing. And say, oh, okay. So I was speaking with this fellow by the name of Orr Green. He's from a moshav up in Tveria. And he starts checking each other out, asking questions about it. I didn't want him to know I was religious. I didn't want him to know nothing. I'll give him information. Let's have a debate about the issues without. It started getting really hot and heavy. And this guy was a real liberal. And he had no values. I couldn't ask him anything. Everything was, every person has the right to determine his own destiny. He can make his choices as he sees fit. He has the right to self-determination. There's no right or wrong. There's no absolute right or wrong. There's no responsibility. There's no power above. So I started asking a series of questions. I said, do you find any fault with thieves? And he said, well, it disturbs the natural social order, so you shouldn't, I said, what if somebody wants to steal? He said, they should live in a place that's designated for people that steal, and people that don't steal should have their own, he had it all worked out. I said, what if you like murdering? He said, so then the areas of people that, if there's a common consensus that people should not murder, then if someone wants to murder, he should leave that group and have his own group. So I said, what if somebody wants to murder the people in the group that don't murder? And then he blinked out on me. He was finished with me. Because there is no answer. Isn't that cool? This is when I was very young. What? He shut down on me. I was kicked out. I said, yeah, but what if somebody wants to? He said, if somebody wants to murder, they should have a commune of people that by common consensus no one murders. If somebody wants to murder, he should leave it and form his own thing where people, they agree to murder. I said, okay, but what if somebody wants to murder the people in the place? He doesn't want to murder. He wants to murder people in places that they don't murder. So you can't make him happy. You can't fulfill his need for self-determination by having him start a group of people that murder, because he wants the right to murder people
who don't want to get murdered.
Who don't want to get murdered.
How do you know his name?
You tell me.
What?
You tell me.
How do you like remember?
Well, the system's up. I'm just like that.
You remember his crazy story?
I'm like that. I remember a lot of trivial things and that pushes out all the important things in my brain. But this is something, or green. He's in a moshav up there somewhere in Tibet. You want to go up to, go to all the moshavs there, find or green, and then tell him, why didn't you answer my rabbi? He asked you a question you couldn't answer. But the values that we have are given to us, they're divine. The wisdom of them, there's a wisdom behind them. We don't always understand the wisdom. We try. It's incumbent on us to understand them as much as we can. But there's certain mitzvahs that are so obvious, you don't have to exert too much brain power. These are referred to as mitzvahs. So mishmeres, his defenses, mitzvahs are things that we figured out. Don't kill. Don't murder. Right away, without too much exertion, it jumps out of you. Why you don't do it? There's deeper reasons. I remember Rav Chaim Brisker. I once heard in the name of Rav Chaim Brisker that this is something which we must internalize. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu would make it in a mitzvah in the Torah, instead of saying, thou shalt not kill, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would say, thou shalt kill, so then murdering would not be evil. Murdering would not be evil. If Hashem would say in the mitzvah, tirtzach, murder would not be evil. If Hashem said that, it would be a supreme value. It's evil because Hashem said not to do it. Now, on top of that, there's many reasons which we can come up on our own. But that's not the root of it. In fact, there are times when murder is a mitzvah, okay? There's a chazal. Right? I saw this in the Sefer. I saw this in the name of the Sefer HaZohar. That the Torah has different interpretations depending on the way you read it. Lo tirtzach means thou shalt not murder. What if you read it like this? Let's read it. Lo tirtzach. What if there's an esnachta under the life? You know the trups?
Mm-hmm.
Trups could be changed. What if it's read? Lo tirtzach. So what does it mean? No. Thou shalt murder. So the Sefer Zayir says, that's the positive commandment to kill someone that's Chayim Misa. It says in the Aseret HaDibros not to kill someone that's not Chayim Misa. And it says in the Aseret HaDibros that you're mechuyev to kill someone that is Chayim Misa. You can't just be a liberal about it and say, well, if I kill him, will that bring back the dead person that he murdered? And what's that going to do to society? Let him be a positive contributor to society. It says in the Ten Commandments, no, don't. That's what lay means. Don't think like that. You're not allowed to spear him. Lo, you are not allowed to spear him. Tirtzach, you must kill him. So killing is a positive virtue. Alright, so that's mitzvah sai. But mitzvah sai is a damn mitzvah that there's a layer of understanding that's very obvious. It's on the surface. We understand it. And that's mitzvah sai. Kukasai, you know what kukasai is. That statue, that's something that in our wildest dreams we can't figure out. What in the world they are? Go figure out shatnas. And now you're going to tell me because shatnas is a wool and linen. And Hevel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer, and Cain grew flax, and Hevel grew linen, and then Cain killed Hevel, so you see it's not good to put the wool and linen together. Then believe me, that doesn't quench my thirst for understanding of this mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Because Reish knew more about shatnas than we did.
Really?
Yeah. And everyone, and people, you know, not eating pig. You can figure that out. A chicken is good and a pig is bad. Go figure that one out. Because you can't eat a pig, it's just not Jewish. That's the answer.
Yeah.
You know why you can't eat pig? Because, could you see Moshe Rabbeinu eating pig? That's why it's not Jewish.
Why?
You can make a matzah bowl, you can make chalot. Because you make, the reason why you can't eat chazer? Because you can't make a chalot with chazer. Because you imagine making a chalot with chazer? That's the reason why you can't eat it. And the Goyim, they make fun of us. You know what they say? And they say it to us. And they probably said it to Yeah. What's going to happen to you if you eat it? Do you have a lightning bolt's going to hit you?
Yeah.
Hey, Eden, let's see. You think God cares whether you eat this meat instead of other meat?
What were we supposed to say to that?
Well, there's certain things.
Yes.
There's a temptation as well. You know what you say to that? You say to that, that we say in our prayers, Avinu Malkeinu, God is our Father. That means He's our Father. He gave birth to us. God's our Father. Malkeinu is our King. God gives us two kinds of mitzvahs. He gives one kind of mitzvahs like a compassionate father. And we understand where the compassion comes from. And we understand why He's doing it, because don't walk, you know, when you're driving around a curvy road without a guardrail, go slow. He's a compassionate father, don't kill ourselves. But then God says, God doesn't want us to forget that He's more than just a father. He's more than just the one that gave us our origins. He's more than just what He gave birth to us. We follow His dictates, we exist. If not, we don't exist. He's our King. He's the absolute. And there's things that He gives us that we do just because it's a Xeris Melech. And He has a reason why, and He doesn't tell us. He purposely doesn't tell us. Because He wants us to do it without knowing. There's two kinds of mitzvahs. He uses both. And we do understand a lot. And in the ones that we don't understand, even in them we understand. We just don't understand it to the very end. We don't. We have a lot of mesira on understanding the mitzvahs that we don't understand. I'll give you an example. Like Shatnez and Chazer, believe me, there's a wealth of rabbinic literature on understanding these things. It's just that even after it, we don't know. So the guy make fun of us. And that's also part of it. There's Malach. There's Malach. Then there's Tarasai. So we covered the Rabbanans. We covered the Rabbanans, the fences. We covered the ones that we have an understanding in. We covered the ones that the understanding is so deep that the nations of the world make fun of us because they have no concept. Well, we can have an understanding in them, it's just that we can't explain it to them. We can understand these deep ones, but we can't explain it to a non-believer. You can have an understanding in Shatnez. You could. I started an explanation. The roots of Shatnez, Cain and Hevel. You're mixing the murderer with his victim. Cain was a farmer, he grew flax. Hevel was a shepherd, and he raised sheep, wool and linen.
What about the Paraduma?
Paraduma, they also had red. Why red? Red represents hate, and you burn it because you're trying to...
What?
Red represents the color of Avera. And you burn it because you're trying to destroy, you know, that which brings to Avera. And you mix it with the water. We have understanding in all the chukim, but it's not human understanding. The understanding of these mitzvahs right, and we can't explain it on a surface level. Of course we have an understanding. We have an understanding in everything. We just can't explain it to the guy, to you. I can't, of course I have an understanding. I can't explain it to you. Try me. Forget it. Just let it go. But that's stupid. You're stupid because you don't understand it, you know? But again, let me understand this. You'll never understand it in a million years. Just let it go. And then you have Torah. So what's Torah say? What's left? It says, Torah say is Torah Shabbat Peh. Halacha Moshe Messina. That's Rashi.
What was the last one? Taras.
Tarasai. That's Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara Yuma says,
brings my day up every day.
What's Teresoy? What specific, or what's Teresoy? Erev Tavshilin. Avraham Avinu made an Erev Tavshilin. You know what an Erev Tavshilin is?
That means like
Teresoy is referring specifically to Erev Tavshilin.
You like bacon egg or something?
That means if Yom Tov comes out on Friday, and then the next day is Shabbos, so you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook on Friday in order to eat on Friday. But you're not allowed to cook on Friday to cook on Shabbos. You can't make a challah on Friday unless you're going to eat challah on Friday. But if you're going to eat the challah on Shabbos, you can't do it. It's called hachana. It's called preparing
for the next
on Yom Tov
for
Shabbos. So what do? So the Rabbanan said, what you do is that you're not allowed to totally prepare for Shabbos on Yom Tov. But if you started preparing during the week, and all you have to do on Yom Tov is finish up the preparations, so then you're allowed to do it. So what you do is you start making the challah on Thursday, and then you finish making it on Friday, and you're allowed to finish making the challah on Friday for Shabbos. Okay? Now, the Rabbanan made an institution called an Erev Tavshilin, that they said you'll have something, an official Erev Tavshilin. And instead of starting all your food,
just start one.
Just start one thing, and that'll work for all the food. And they say you're supposed to take something baked and something cooked. So we usually use, during Pesach, you use a matzah and an egg. You don't use challah. You can use a matzah and egg. And during the weekday, you know, before Yom Tov comes in, you designate the matzah and the egg, or the roll and the egg, and you say, I'm cooking this egg for Shabbos, and I'm starting during the weekday. I'm starting my Shabbos preparation the weekday, and this bread was baked. I'm designated the bread that was baked for Shabbos, and that's on Thursday. And then when Friday comes, and you want to make the challah, so the challah is an extension of the egg and the matzah. So Avraham Avinu did this. Avraham Avinu did this as well. That's the Gemara Yom, that's Yom Kippur Kesem days, and the Baal Torah brings the Gematria, that the words Ekev Asher Shama Avraham, Ekev, Asher Shema Abraham, is the same gematria.
You said egg and the matzah does what again?
It's like you started preparing for Shabbos during the weekday. Yom Tov, when you do the other preparations, you're not starting, you're just finishing. And so you're allowed to finish Yom Tov. That's Erev Tavshilin. The gematria is Ekev Asher Shema Abraham. Listen to this, you're going to love this, Yaval. Kiyem af Eruvei Tavshilin. He fulfilled even Eruvei Tavshilin. It's the same numerical value. So this sounds to me like a very important thing. You know, the Gemara says it, and the numerical value is the same. There's got to be some significance to this. Ekev Asher Shama Avram is the same gematria as Kiyem af Eruvei Tavshilin. All right.
Is it possible for a Yom Tov to come out for dinner?
Yes. Thursday night and Friday morning. Sure, it happens all the time. So why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because the Maharal said, what is significant about Erev Tavshilin? You know, it seems like it's a Drabbanan Dika Mitzvah. Drabbanan don't want you preparing on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that...
I'm going to use this for a few minutes. I'll come back down.
Rabbanan took a mitzvah, and they don't want you preparing from Yom Tov for Shabbos. So they tell you to start the preparations before and do an egg and a matzah. Why do we have to know this? Why is it important to Avram? The Maharal talks about this. I'm just going to tell you briefly what he says, because tomorrow maybe we go into it more. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Oh, so tomorrow we're not going to more. You said that you have three time periods. There's a time when you could do things, that's weekday. There's a time when you could do nothing, at Shabbos. And there's a time when you could do things, but you can only do things which you started before, okay? You said these are parallels to Erev Tavshilin, to Yemei HaMashiach. in Shabbos. That's the seventh millennium.
Are you into that
later? I mean, yeah, of course we're going to get into it. There's no shadow we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it in great detail, with a lot of thought, and without rushing.
I've heard some things like that.
In this world, you do mitzvahs, you have a bechira. It's called a bechira chafshis. Hashem, we learned about Hashem preserving the balance. If a person works on himself, his yetzer hara gets stronger, so then his yetzer hara gets stronger. If the yetzer hara for avodah zarah leaves the world, so then prophecy leaves the world. These are two examples, you know. Kol gadol mikar, very yetzer gadol mimenu, and nevuah and avodah zarah taiva left the world at the same time. That's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserves the world in exact balance, that a person could choose Tayyip and Ra equally. And like we saw in the Derech Hashem, it's easier for him to choose Ra, actually.
What does them mean? The women? Them arrayed at the mission? What does arrayed mean, first of all?
Arrayed means that they were displayed, and them is boots in our garment. You're supposed to know what those are.
Oh, I do.
So I want to know what boots and garment are when they're combined, and why did Akashverish deliberately have them at the Mishnah? What was his reason for doing that? Akashverish had a purpose.
Oh, I thought it was referring to the arts and stuff, the tapestries.
Well, I don't know how you define garment and boots. You have to know the answer to A in order to go on to B. The real Malacha. The world is 6,000 years, and then... And then the period following the 6,000 years is Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Right, Hashem created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. We have 6 days of work, we have Shabbos on the seventh day. The 6,000 years where we work. We do mitzvahs, averis, we have bechira, and then in the beginning of the 7,000 year is Shabbos, and it's over. We eat the challah then. You don't cook challah.
There's no eating here.
We eat the challah. Whatever it is, I call it eating the challah. Eat the challah. It's better than eating. It's the real eating. It's eating that you never get full. You can keep eating more and more without limit. In this world, there's a limit to
what happens
child.
After Shabbos.
Yeah, Mitzvah Shabbos is just that.
Now, what if happened that after Shabbos, after 1,000 years, you started over?
We did start happen. Over again, but we're starting from a different starting point.
It's already happened.
Like, we become people again?
No, it's nothing familiar to anything that we have now. But we do start over again.
I heard that, like, you,
spirals. You know what spirals
just go
are?
With God, and everyone is with him.
Yeah, but that's very, 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 very descriptionless.
Right. We discussed that sometime?
Avada, but there's a certain point which we're going to have to stop because it's going to go beyond us. Right now, let's talk about what we're talking now instead of what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about what we're talking about. Maybe Rabbi said, this world, we understand what the point of this world is. It's a world of struggle.
Okay.
We're going all Chazara over the Derech Hashem. Hashem wants us to have a challenge. Hashem wants things to be unclear. Hashem wants us to be in a physical world, to use physical things and use them for the highest purposes. So Hashem creates a very low physical world, and he gives us mitzvahs with ordinary objects. Because he wants us to take the lowest things in creation and bring them up. And it's very hard for us to do that. So you see the point of this world. We understand Olam Haba, the point of Olam Haba. Because even though we don't do anything in Olam Haba, there are no accomplishments there. And there's no struggles. And there's no more choices. Number one, we don't have freedom of choice. And number two, there's no two options. There's only one option.
What? Learn Torah?
To enjoy.
Bliss.
Go what?
To enjoy absorbing truth. Constantly, deeper and deeper into the truth. It's the most enjoyable experience a person could have. It's his mind expands. The mind expands, and there's no limit to the capacity to absorb truth. So we understand a point to the reward. We understand a point to the struggle. But then there's an in-between stage called the Maaseh Mashiach. And there's Gemaras that point to this. There's Gemaras and there's words of the Holy Rambam that point to this. The times of Mashiach, people are going to have freedom of choice. Not going to be robots. but we're going to have such a clarity. It's going to be so clear. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be leaders. Now, Aaron Akayan is going to come back. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be leaders. Everyone is going to see that God was right. And Moshe Rabbeinu had a very clear vision of the best way to reach the kingdom of heaven. We're not going to have to rely on faith anymore. God was right. Let me give you an example. A guy goes into a casino with you. And he says, I have a system of beating the tables. And the guy's a wealthy man. And you don't know how the system works. But he's a wealthy man. He's made a lot of money here. And he sells you the system. He tells you, I'll give you the system for $1 million. But you can turn it over to $2 million in a few weeks. Are you going to buy it from him?
Yes.
Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe not, because you don't see it. Maybe yes, it's a leap of faith, right? You see, he's living wealthy, he shows you a few times, you know. But if you walk into it, and he works you through it, and you see time after time how he does it, and you understand it, so then, of course, you know, do you have a choice whether to buy it from him or not? You have no choice. It's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. The dwarf brought you to the end of the rainbow. You're there already, you understand? So in this world, we have Bechira. In Olam Haba, there's no Bechira. In Maisa Mashiach, there is Bechira, but there's no point. Okay, that's, you know, based on the Gemaras and the words of the Rabbi.
There's no point of having
Bechira? There's no point of Bechira because it's so clear. Like, I see it.
Well,
you have a Bechira. You have a Bechira whether you should get up and go to davening and daven with a minion and shul when you see that the people, that they did it, so then the tefillahs are answered, and they're healthy, and they're strong, and they're successful, and the people that don't do it are rotting in bed. We only
what
have a struggle.
What are we going to be doubting for in these days?
We're still going to have to daven.
For what?
Because God wants you to talk to him. You can acknowledge that he's the source. What's our davening? Our davening is acknowledgement. You know, that's the main theme of our davening is acknowledgement. You are the Raife, you are the Goyal, you are the one that gives us judges. Davening is a dialogue with God. You always daven. We're going to daven forever. We're going to daven forever. But in this world, it's very hard because we don't see it. If you saw it, you had a cold. You davened Hashem, your cold went away. Would you have a hard time davening?
I mean,
in times of Mashiach, we're going to see it. So we will have free choice, but we won't have, you know, our free choice then.
Well, a free choice is not necessarily like a good and a bad thing.
In this world, it's good to have free choice because then we have to work hard.
No, it's not like if you don't, like, let's say free choice in the next world to walk to this person's house or to walk to someone else's house.
Yeah, we'll have
that. Where's
the
good and bad?
We're gonna have it, right. So those areas, we're going to have our own space. It's Olam Hazeh. The times are... But the good and bad things, yes, there will be good things. Yes, there will be bad things to do, but no one in their right mind...
Bad things to do.
Any person could go and do an Avera in the time of Mashiach.
Will this still happen?
There'll be the availability of it, but no one in their right mind will do it. So what's the point of having that period of time? The Rambam says... Because as much as we do in this world, it's a series of ups and downs. Rambam says this. It's a series of ups and downs, and we try and be clean, we try and be pure, and the minute we reach a pinnacle, you know, a height, then the next day we go down. And he says, you can't go to Olam Haba like that. Just like Yosef can't come in front of the king with dirty clothing. We have to clean ourselves up first. So in this world, we do the best we can. And then you have a period of time when you still have a choice. And you clean your act up. Hashem gives it, you have to love God when you hear this. We can get seriously messed up in this world, but you try, you do the best you can, you come out ahead. You know, you have to come out with the rave, okay? You come out ahead. Get rave, have 51 good beans and 49 bad beans on the scale. And then Hashem says, okay, you made it to the next level. So now I'm going to give you a chance to clean yourself up. You can take a shower before you come in, the jacuzzi, sauna. And I'm going to give you a certain amount of years that it's going to be easier on you. It's going to be very clear, and no one's going to do a virus. And you're
going
to choose, and you're going to choose it, and you're going to have a Bahira. You're going to choose to do all the good things, you're going to choose to stay from bad things, but it's going to be easy because it's going to be so clear. And well, then you're going to be perfect in this world, in the physical world, for a certain amount of years. And I said, okay, now you can live forever.
Then what's going to happen with the physical world?
We'll discuss that another time. The question that the moral is, the point is that if it's so clear in the times of Mashiach, and we have a Bechira, but no one in their right minds would ever choose something wrong, so then why do we get reward for such a thing, right? Why do we get reward for such a thing? Okay?
Who asked the question?
The moral asked this question. And the whole point is that we should exist as perfect beings for a certain unspecified period of time. He said, if it's so clear to us, so why do we do it? And the moral answer is like a person who goes to sleep in the sukkah. It's a beautiful mashal. Someone goes to sleep. It's a mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah, right? And mitzvahs are things that have to be done. So somebody goes, drags his sleeping bag into the sukkah, pillow into the sukkah, gets a lot of reward. It's not comfortable. It's not, he puts it down and goes to sleep. And he sleeps there for 7 hours. How many hours does he get a mitzvah for? For 15 minutes that it took him to walk into the sukkah and go to sleep? Or for 7 hours? He gets up for 7 hours. And the question is, that he has no bechira then. He's sleeping. He has no struggle. Just the mitzvah. I'm telling you, Rukum Hashalom. He has no struggle. He's sleeping. So why should he get reward? Why should it be a mitzvah that he fulfilled if he didn't do anything? And the moral answer is, because he's the one that put himself into the sukkah. He chose to put himself into a situation that he has no bechira. So he gets reward for it. Even though at the time when he's sleeping he has no bechira, but he chose to put himself in the sukkah. Someone that gets ahead, like Raif, Mashiach comes, he's on the good side. He made it. He didn't die in the war of Gog and Magog. He waited for Mashiach. He looked forward to Mashiach. He tried to make himself ready for the world that would be. He said, I have a struggle, I have a problem, I can't stand it. I can't wait until it's easier for me. And I'm not perfect and I fall. But I don't want this. I want to get out of here. So then when the redemption comes, so he put himself there. So yes, after the king comes and after it's clear, it's very easy to make the right decisions. But you still get reward for it because you're there because of all the hard work you did until then. So all the hard work you did until then is schlepping your sleeping bag into the sukkah. And the mitzvahs that you do when Mashiach is there, that's when you're sleeping in the sukkah. And that's your bechira. The main work was before Shabbos. That was, you know, in this world. On Yom Tov, you know, Thursday you could do malacha. On Yom Tov you could only do malacha if you started it on Thursday. On Shabbos you can't do malacha at all. This world is like weekdays. It's a bechira. Bechira is hard work. Bechira is hard work. That's mamash the 6 days of malacha. The time of Mashiach, that's Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you could do some work. What kind of work could you do? It's not really much work. You really have to rest on Yom Tov. It's easy. But you could do work if it's continuation of the work you did before. So you have choices. But you only have choices because of the hard choices you made before. And then you get reward for it in preparation for the egg and the matzah, okay, is the malacha that we do in this world, which allows us to do the challenge on Yom Tov. So on Shabbat, so the egg and the matzah is this world. The making of the challenge is the times of Mashiach. And the eating of the challenge of Shabbos, Avraham Avinu kept after Shilin. That is the depth of the significance of that Gemara the Avram, the Gematria that he kept Erev Tavshil on them, and his whole life was joining this world to the next world through the stage of Geula, which brings us from one to the next. And, okay, so I hope that you appreciate at least the bits of Erev Tavshil, and we understand a little bit more. The Gematria, you understand more. And you understand more that there's certain stages where we actually lose our Bechir. Well, that was the point of this whole shmooze. Okay, Mesayda, you understand deep? Do you understand deep, Yaval?
Tomorrow where?
Yuma. Then Yuma.